not mine. I'm Pete Stoughton. Now we will be speaking with Eric Overton, who will be calling in shortly, whose inspirational work is demanding the artist and those who enjoy his work to slow down and evaluate what is worth preserving. His recent documentary, Collodion, The Process of Preservation, brings the audience with him to remote and sacred places. We have not yet gotten him on the phone. Oh, and perfect, calling in. Welcome Eric.
Hello.
Perfect timing. We just brought you on the air. Sounds like we have some feedback. If you could turn off the radio in the back.
Let me see what I can do. How's that?
Perfect. Eric, just introduced your movie. Is it Collodion?
Yeah, that's it. Collodion, The Process of Preservation is the full title. Yes.
Perfect. What, for those who are unfamiliar with photography, what is Collodion?
Well, Collodion, interesting enough, I mean, before Collodion, this chemical was used in photography in a photographic process that was mostly used in the mid-19th century, 1850s and 60s. It was used in medicine, which is one of the things that really attracted me to it. Yeah, exactly. As a physician, it was used as a surgical dressing, something that would was used heavily in the Civil War, and then later adopted and used as a chemical in a photographic process known as the wet plate collodion process, which is this viscous, gluey, really smelly chemical that is used to create an emulsion on a glass plate. And then this is sensitized with silver in a silver bath and put into the camera. The exposure is made, and these are long exposures taking, you know, several seconds to properly make a photograph. And this time, you know, you see a lot of artifact and motion and blur in some of these portraits. You know, most notably the famous photograph we see of Abraham Lincoln was a collodion wet plate image. So, you know, that's the background on collodion. First in medicine, then later used in photography. And then as technology developed later in the 19th century and early 20th, photographic processes became easier to work with. You didn't necessarily have to have a dark room on site to process this image. And during this process, the whole, you have about a 10-minute window while this, for the image to be made. Right. So hence the name wet plate, mm-hmm. Collodion. It's kind of a silly process to use, you know, with all of the incredible high tech camera options that we have. But that was something that really drew me to it. In the beginning was the deliberate, slow, mechanical, process. So I took this process out into wilderness and just started photographing as really, I guess, therapy for myself to really, you know, slow down and connect with nature, really, to be pretty straightforward about it.
And you have a pretty challenging job as a doctor and, you know, as a father. So to get away and to slow down sounds really beautiful, but the process is complex. There's imperfection. You really see that in the film that you the documentary, The Process of Preservation. It's not immediate satisfaction. Why?
No, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's going back to what I was saying, that it's, You can make images in a much more efficient way. The first time I went to Yosemite, I showed up and was all prepared, ready to go, and it was the most beautiful, picturesque spring day you could imagine, with beautiful cloud cover and intermittent showers or rain showers throughout the day, and it was gorgeous. But I spent the entire day basically negotiating with my chemistry and different temperatures, I was not able to make a single photograph in about 12, 14 hours of shooting. And I had to really pull things back. And what I did the next day was just really refocused my attention on what I was trying to do and was finally able to make some images. But it was this experience of failure and really rethinking the process of what you're doing that really led me to this, making a film that has to do with, photography and connecting to the landscape and what that means. And in the film, we started out going down to the Bears Ears Monument quite a bit, right? And we thought about making, okay, well, maybe we'll make a political film. This is such a polarizing topic. You could clearly make an interesting piece. But instead of going the political route, we used my story as one of the narrative arcs of getting out of the hospital, just the fluorescent light, loud, chaotic turmoil of modern medicine, and into nature. And for me, the process that I used was this failure prone rich in artifact anachronism to capture images on a glass plate, right? So this was my process that really brought me closer to nature and to myself and really helped me reflect on what I wanted to do with my life and how I wanted to raise my kids, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of doctor did I want to be? You know, these are
existential questions.
This is very rich in the film, and when I extrapolate what I've learned from nature and this slowness and this deliberateness, I apply this to my practice, and I spend a lot of time with my patients. I think the average physician visit with a patient is 6 or 7 minutes, and I try to do quite a bit more than that to really connect with the patient. But going back to what I'm saying is, instead of making a political film, what we wanted to focus on were just some of the various people or types of people who interact with the landscape, the user group, who is out in wilderness and what are they doing? What are their processes? And what I found, and I'm sure everybody who watches this film, they'll take away something different. But, all these different voices, we interviewed land conservationists and a CEO of a drilling company and, the climber and the dirt biker and the cattle rancher, the horse whisperer, all these different people, is that everybody has a valid connection to the landscape through some process. So we really eschewed the, identity politics of, we need to protect this land anybody who who says different is wrong, right? I mean, this is not a piece of propaganda that we're trying to peddle to, further fuel any specific agenda. This film is about the way that we can all connect to the landscape, the common ground that we share. And if there is any messaging that we're trying to promote, it's that conversation is our best tool and a willingness to listen to one another. And it's something that I've learned and try to apply in my life daily, from medicine to the way that I parent to the way that I photograph or, making the next film.
I loved how you highlighted the process with the horse whisperer and the almost humor that she had with wanting to hurry up the process, but then connecting with the audience and also having the person being photographed, almost preserving and connecting with who they were hoping to portray in themselves. Talk a little bit, especially the woman, the friend of yours, who you did a portrait of, that kind of illustrates that really well.
Oh, I'm sorry. You cut out just a little bit. Can you repeat that question for me?
I was just emphasizing that connection that you were just discussing and the connection with people. But your photographs and the process that you use really emphasize and illustrate that connection. And you really highlighted that with your friend who you took a portrait of. And she was, it was more of a capturing, preserving her youth. But then you learned a little bit more about what that means to preserve.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think you're talking about, yeah. I thought you were talking about Heidi in the beginning. Yeah, that section of the film, you know, that's one of my favorites, absolutely. We're photographing my friend, my longtime friend and partner who helped produce this film. And we had worked together, and I was at New York Medical College in, I think 2013, and she lived there working on some films. So we were both in Brooklyn, and we shot this scene where I am taking a photograph, or I guess a portrait rather, using this process. And the concept was, you know, she wanted to preserve this beauty before Parkinson's disease really stole that from her. So that was one of the catalysts in our film coming together. We later asked the question, what can a photograph preserve? Right. And that really comes full circle to this whole idea of process and preservation. You know, so the film is quite aptly named.
Is there a balance between process and preservation? Is there a contrast and I know that you've got to run. So last question for you, unless you can stick
around. Are you there?
Yeah.
I was just interrupted. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I know that you're actively treating patients right now or soon to be. So I know we've got to let you go. Is there a last kind of wrap up that you want to share about process and preservation and your film?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if you caught the last of what I was saying. I can hear a lot of feedback and this isn't a great connection for me. But to wrap up, no, I would absolutely just, I would say that if anybody's interested in this film, it can be seen on Amazon currently. And this idea of connection to the landscape is something that we really want to promote. And this idea that, we all share this, right? I was in a conversation with my neighbor yesterday who mentioned, you know, through all of the controversy and things that we're experiencing and the arguments, he used the term that I just don't feel like I share common ground with, you know, X. And I said, that's exactly the point, is that we all share common ground. And this is so much the heart of this film, right? Despite all of our differences, the conversation really needs to be carried forward. And I think you know, that comes through in this film. And I would hope that people who see it can ask themselves and find what their connection is and go forward with that.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for letting us connect with you and to learn about your process and the film Collodion, the process of preservation. We're going to jump real quickly as you transition off to work with your patients to Mike Call, who worked with you on developing and filming this. So thank you so much, Eric.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one. Joining us now is Mike Call, the cinematographer for the film Collodion, the process of preservation. Mike, are you on with us?
I am. How are you doing?
Great to have you on. We just had a great introduction conversation with Eric Overton, the artist, the director of Collodion, the process of preservation. Tell us a little bit about your role in that film.
Sure. Well, I joined the project a little bit after he had started. I think what he intended to start doing with this film ended up taking a left turn, which documentary films usually do. I think he had a passion for Collodion photography and the outdoors, and he probably described kind of how therapeutic going out into the wilderness was for him as a med student and a resident. And I grew up here in Utah, you know, getting to know the wilderness through rock climbing mostly. And he came to me after seeing some of my work and knowing my background and asked me to join as a cinematographer. So that's pretty much when I got involved, about a year or a year and a half after he started. And then we went all over.
It sounds like the process for you also changed and is pretty common in your industry. But for those of us who plan everything out and we want to know the outcomes and the input, this process of collodion photography would be really challenging and require a lot of patience. What did you learn about the process and change and accepting failure as you filmed this film?
Yeah, none of the plates that he went to make, they weren't guaranteed in every single circumstance we went to. It's, you know, different temperature, different humidity, and, you know, he might time it differently every time. And it seems to me like a little bit of magic more than you know, like when you pull out your phone, you just push a button, you get a photo out of it, and it looks fine. It looks great. It's a good snapshot. But with this, it's so intentional, and there's so much craft and care taken into every single plate that, you know, we would have a lot of times we'd have a plate that just didn't turn out. It just ended up sliding off the glass, or it was overexposed or underexposed. But, you know, Eric's a good photographer, and he figured it out, and he ended up getting a lot of good plates out of it. And yeah, it was pretty interesting to see. I come from a digital background. I mean, I didn't grow up on shooting film stocks. I had to learn that later, but I grew up with digital, so I was always instant feedback, and you knew what you were shooting before you shot it. And watching the collodion process, it's like, you know, completely manual, 100%. You don't know until you develop, and even then, you're not sure how it's going to last. So, yeah, it was pretty fascinating to watch.
Was there ever a point of frustration coming from the digital framework to the more manual collodion framework?
You know, I was mostly documenting the collodion work, so I was just a passive observer on the outside. So I had a pretty high-tech camera that I could rely on every single time. And, you know, it's pretty, those things can be frustrating, but generally, you know, it's not even close to the same thing, really. And, you know, it's definitely inspiring to watch people work in this manual medium, this completely chemical and glass-based medium where it's just light triggering a reaction to the collodion and imprinting an image. And it's fascinating to me as a photographer.
As a Utah local or a Utah native, were there some areas, your film definitely took you to some remote locations in Utah. Were there some places that you had not explored previously?
Yeah, you know, this one of the main areas that set this whole process off, this whole film off, was the Bears Ears controversy. So we ended up shooting in Bears Ears quite a bit, and I'd never really actually explored the Bears Ears specifically. Like, there is a formation called the Bears Ears, and I ended up going up on top of that and shooting off of that and looking down over all of the land, or as much of the land as I could see from there, that entails Bears Ears. And it's pretty fascinating to be down there, and it's beautiful and wild and rugged, and you know, it's hard to imagine developments in places like that. But then again, every place we live was once wild, so you know, it definitely gives you a perspective of development versus preservation. And you know, I live in a house that was once on wild land, and I'm not complaining about it. So it's hard to be, once you kind of start to see the bigger picture and look at it from all these different angles, you can start to have a better perspective over, you know, careful and rational decision-making about land management.
Mm. And there was a really interesting discussion in the film as you were in Bears Ears. There was a section about with Angelo, is that correct? And the discussion mm-hmm. of, and he's a Navajo representative, and he brought up some interesting questions, and the film highlighted this balance between, you know, taking pictures, promoting, and also being authentic, if you kind of want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak for Angelo, but there has been a lot of appropriation of Native imagery, and there's a lot of negative history with people capitalizing on imagery of Native peoples, and he's very sensitive to it. He's educated in this specific topic, and it was sensitive working with him, in terms of he wanted to make sure that his imagery was representing what he wanted, and that it wasn't just us capitalizing on him being, you know, Navajo or Native people. And there's a long history of people, you know, photographing Native people and selling the work and not giving it back to the Native people. And so, yeah, he was definitely keeping us honest and educating us as well about the history of all of that. And we were really interested in making sure he was happy with how he was represented and that he was proud of what we were doing.
And as a filmmaker using your digital medium, that feedback is pretty instantaneous, and you can have those conversations on the spot. But there's an element of process with the collodion image work, and that it does take time. As well as, you know, a lot of, in my work, I work with some Native tribes in Utah, and there's an element where there's patience in the conversation. There's patience, more process and dialogue. Did that work out to more of Eric's advantage versus yours as an artist working with Angelo? Or was that still enough conversations were going on that it worked out completely?
Yeah, it worked out really well. I mean, he's a very well-spoken, really intelligent person who communicates very clearly. He's very, there's no gray area with him. He listens really well, but he also was very firm about what did and didn't work. I mean, there was a plate that we took of him right off the bat that he just flat out said, I don't like it. And you know, I just don't like how I look in this image. And we were like, okay, let's do it again. And we did, I can't remember if it was three or four plates with him in a session. And, you know, each one takes, I'd say 45 minutes total to get done. And we were developing in the back of Eric's truck, and, you know, it was very, hot, and, you know, the plates were behaving differently every time. And, but we ended up getting a plate that, Angelo, I think, really liked. And, I believe Eric even gave him one of the plates in the end as a gift.
For you as a filmmaker, what did you walk away with after you saw the final film that you hope the audience, when they go to see this film on Amazon, will walk away with?
Well, I think, you know, Eric's intention was to make sure that it wasn't a political film or a scolding film or anything like that. It was more of a perspective. It was a way to open people's eyes to different points of view. And you know, that's what you get when you go out into nature and you can appreciate things firsthand. It's not a photo of something. It's, you know, your feet in the dirt. And I think for me, listening to all the different people we interviewed, and then I helped Eric edit the film, you know, listening and trying to parse what it is we were trying to say. And in the end, it's more just go and experience it for yourself. And hopefully this film will inspire people to go out and experience these things themselves and decide, you know, how they actually feel about these things instead of just reading an article and deciding, oh, I disagree with that or whatever, you know.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. You have a beautiful film, Collodion, The Process of Preservation. For those who like to go see it, it's on Amazon, and it's a really inspiring, sombering, and captivating documentary. It highlights photography, but also will have you walk away kind of pausing a little bit and thinking a little bit about your life. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.